Look with me in Jonah chapter 3, and I want us to just read one verse of Scripture. It is verse 10. The Bible says, "When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that He had said He would do to them, and He did not do it." And so last week we looked at what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil way. Today I want us to look at God relenting and not doing what He had warned them, and even going beyond that to this idea, the gift of God to repent. The gift of God to repent. And what I would like us to understand today is that God is the God of repentance for two reasons. We can call God the God of repentance for two reasons. First, because He requires repentance. Do you know that? Not a lot of people understand that about God today. Some people think God is just going to like sweep all our sins under the rug, and at the last day, everybody's going to make it into heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible that, you know, God inspired because He wants us to know the truth about what He's like and what He requires. The Bible teaches us that God requires us to repent or to turn from our ways, our sinful ways, unto Him. We see that in verses like Acts 17, verse 30, when Paul stood on the Greek, Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, and with all the philosophers there, he said to them that these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, for He has fixed a day on which He will judge us by a man that He's chosen, Jesus. And He's given proof of that to all by raising that man from the dead. So God commands all men everywhere to repent. So this morning when I speak of the God of repentance, I call Him the God of repentance first of all because He requires repentance. He is the God who demands that all people come to Him by humbling themselves. You don't skip into the presence of God popping your bubble gums, Brother Terry Simpson used to say. You come low when you come to Almighty God. Amen? We must deal with our sin. You can't have your sin and Jesus too. So He's the God who requires repentance. But I call Him the God of repentance today for a second reason. He not only requires repentance, this is good news, He grants repentance. Our God is the God who grants us, who gives us the gift of repentance. Again, not a lot of people understand that. Some people think, well, I hear the gospel and then I go do what the gospel commands me to do. I go and repent and believe. And yeah, you got to do that, but the Bible teaches us we can't do that on our own. Repentance is something you can't grit your teeth and strain really hard and boom, I'm born again. Do you know that? Do you understand that this morning? Being converted to God is not something you can work up. Okay, well, I've made that decision. I'm going to become a Christian. Well, amen. I'm glad you made a decision, but you need God to work on you powerfully and give you a new heart. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? I will come down there. All right? I won't come to your house, at least not this morning, if you're watching live stream. God is the God of repentance because He requires us to repent. And He's also the God of repentance because He gives us the grace of repenting. The Bible teaches us that repentance, it's an experience that we experience from God. It's something that happens to us. It's not something that we just do. Repentance is a change of mind and heart. You can't just change your desires. You can't change your nature. We who are born loving our sin can't just flip a switch and now I hate my sin and I love God. Do you understand that this morning? I believe some of you, God is wanting to drill this into you. God wants to speak this to you. I pray that He wants to let you experience this today. Amen. You can't flip a switch and suddenly love what you used to hate and hate what you used to love. It is a gracious gift of God. The Bible teaches that we are born in sin. We are born with a nature that is opposed to God. Ephesians 2 says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are born dead to God. And so we can't just choose to make ourselves alive. Romans 3:11 says that no one seeks God. No one is looking for God on their own. And so if you're seeking God, it means God is stirring you up to do that. We can't bring ourselves to new spiritual life. God must give us the gift of repentance. Now, before we get to Jonah, I want to show you that the Bible teaches this in general. I could take an hour and a half, I promise you I won't, and take you all over the Bible and show you that repentance is something God gives. Let me just give you three places in the Bible besides Jonah that shows us that God gives the gift of repentance. Are you ready? The first one was our scripture reading this morning. Our brother Clint read in Ezekiel chapter 36. And when you get down to verse 26 and 27, God prophesied through Ezekiel that God would give a new heart. Did you hear that this morning? God said He would take away the heart of stone that is unresponsive to God and unable to obey Him or please Him or glorify Him. God said, I will remove that heart of stone and I will give you what? A new heart, a heart of flesh. That is a heart that is responsive to God. Do you know in this season when many of us are making wish lists, you have no greater need than for God to give you a responsive heart to Him. Parents, as you are thinking about what you could give your kids for Christmas, you have no greater gift than to pray for your children that God would give them a responsive heart to Him. Amen? I mean, I wish as a dad that I could reach into my kids and take out their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. But that's something God does. So what can I do as a dad? I can pray for my kids and my family members and my coworkers and my neighbors because God gives the gift of repentance. Amen? I wish I could give it, but I can't. But what can you do? You can pray for them. You can preach to them because God works through His Word, as we're going to see in a minute. If I were you and I had some kids, I would see to it that I had them under the preaching of God's Word every time the Word was preached, because faith comes by hearing. Do you love your kids? Get them under the preaching. Pray for them. Preach it to them yourself in family worship time. Don't just give them Lego sets and coloring books. Amen? Give them this gift of pointing them to God. He is the God who gives repentance. I better move on. I promised you I wouldn't take an hour and a half on this one. In the New Testament also shows us that repentance is a gift. There's one particularly clear passage. It's in 2 Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy, and Timothy has been left by Paul in Ephesus to kind of oversee the churches there. And he says, Timothy, let me give you some instructions about the pastors. When you lay hands on elders and pastors and put them in charge of the churches, you need to find men who are gentle. Pastors can't be out there brawling with their enemies. You know, theology fights in the streets. You heretic! You know, although St. Nicholas punched a guy who had bad theology this time of the year. It's good to remember that. There's a time for that approach, perhaps. But pastors are to be gentle towards their enemies. And look what Paul writes. 2 Timothy 2:25. He says, God may perhaps do what? Listen to their free will and... No. God may perhaps grant them repentance. Them who? Enemies of the church. enemies of God. God may grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Whose will? The devil's will. You talk about free will. One of the Puritan writers said, "Your free will can't even, by your free will, you can't even heal yourself of a hangnail or a toothache. And yet you think your free will can save your soul? Which of you, by your free will, can heal yourself of a headache?" You know, we need God. It's not just a choice we make. Yes, we make a choice. We need God to raise the dead. We need God to give us repentance. Maybe I will spend an hour and a half on this one. No, I said I would. There's one more from the New Testament I want to show you before we get to Jonah. Peter the Apostle. You remember when Peter got in trouble for going to a Gentile's house? He was minding his own business on the roof. He was hungry and they were making him a sandwich downstairs. And while he was up there, he was praying and God gave him a vision of all these animals that Jews aren't supposed to eat in the Old Covenant. There was probably some pigs, you know, some bacon and maybe some lizards and stuff. And I don't know, it's all these unclean animals, maybe some shrimp, you know. And Peter was looking at that and he heard a voice from heaven that said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." The hunter's verse, right? And Peter said, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean." And God said, "Don't call unclean what I've made clean. So you can eat your pork and your shrimp." Amen. To the glory of God. But that wasn't the point. Just food. There was a knock on the door. Oh, I hit my thing. There was a knock on the door while Peter was praying. And a Gentile came to the house. The unclean Gentiles. And God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to Peter and said, "Go with those men. I sent them to you." So he went, and he went into the house of a Roman centurion. I break this thing. He sent him to Cornelius' house, and he said, "Why have you summoned me?" And he said, I was praying the other day, and an angel from God said, "Call for Peter. He's got a message that you're going to hear by which you will be saved." And Peter said, "All right." He preached the gospel, and the glory fell down, and all these unclean Gentiles got saved. But the Jews found out back home that Peter went into a Gentile's house. You're not supposed to do that if you're a Jew. So Peter had some splaining to do, and he goes back home, and he says, "Look, here's why I went into the Gentile's house." And he told them the story of how God gave him that vision and said, "Don't call them unclean if I have made them clean." And when Peter told the Jews that story, do you know what they answered? Something about God giving repentance, right? Acts 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God saying, "Okay," right? "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." To the Gentiles also God has done what? Granted repentance. If you are a Gentile this morning and you have repented of your sins and trusted Christ, that was given to you as a gift from God. Amen. It's not because you are superior morally. Christians aren't better than other people. We just got a gift from God. So don't look down your nose at people who aren't saved yet. Pray for them to get the gift of repentance. That's what the Bible teaches. God is the God of repentance because He requires it and He gives it. Now let's get to Jonah. The Bible teaches this in general, all over the place. But the Bible also shows us this in Jonah. It emphasizes all over the book of Jonah that God is sovereign. It was God's will all along to save the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh. God didn't leave it up to chance. He was very active in bringing that city to their knees. Can I show you five things in the book of Jonah where we see God doing the giving of repentance? First of all, He sent them a prophet from Israel. Bible trivia! How many other Gentile cities during this time period did God send a prophet from Israel to so they could repent? Zero. So the whole earth is full of people who don't know God, just as wicked as the Ninevites. God sent Nineveh a prophet from Israel so he could preach to them and they could repent. Why didn't God send a prophet to any of the others? Because He had a plan, a sovereign plan for that city, that generation, at that time. Who gave the repentance? God did. God doesn't send them a preacher, they don't repent. Amen? Do you see it now? Whoa. Let me ask you a quick question on that. God ever love you enough to send you a preacher? God love you enough to send you the gospel preached through someone? Maybe you were young and you heard the gospel. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was the pastor where you went to church. Maybe it was some guy on the street calling out, repent. God loved you enough to send you a preacher. That wasn't you that made a brilliant choice that day. That was God saving you, man. That was God loving you. I'm feeling it today, are y'all? Christmas is a sleepy time of the year sometimes. Wake up! Don't fall asleep. So God gave Nineveh a special gift. He sent them Jonah. But number two, God made Jonah obey. See, the problem was the gift of Jonah to the people. Jonah was a little squirrely. He didn't want to do what God said. He went the opposite direction. God didn't just shrug and say, oh well, I tried. Right? I mean, He could have done that. What did God do? God pursued Jonah, chased him down, would not take no for an answer. He wouldn't let Jonah run away. He wouldn't let Jonah kill himself by jumping in the water. He wouldn't let Jonah drown by sinking to the bottom. He sent a fish. He wouldn't let Jonah die in the fish's belly, but He spoke to the fish and made him puke Jonah up on the beach. God was unrelenting. God was persistent. You and I have no idea how unrelenting God was in chasing us down and bringing us to the cross. How many times did you stiff-arm God before He finally brought you to your knees? He could have given up the first time you said no. Better yet, He never even had to send you the gospel at all. Do you see the unrelenting, persistent mercy of God in your life? Hallelujah! I won't tell this whole story, but Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher in London, the 1800s, he was converted when he was like 15 years old. He was a sinner. He was miserable. It was a snowy day and he was out wandering around. He fell into this little church chapel to get in out of the snow. There was like six people there. The pastor he was snowed in, so he couldn't come that day, but the deacon stood up and just read from Isaiah. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Look to me. And Spurgeon said he preached that one verse for about 20 minutes till he just ran out of stuff to say on it. So he looked at Spurgeon down there on the row, you know, in the pew, and he said, young man, you look miserable. But if you'll turn and look to God, He will save you right now. Spurgeon said, I was miserable, but I wasn't used to having my you know feelings called out by the preacher. He said, that man pointed his finger at me and said, look to me and live, God says. And Spurgeon says, in that moment, I looked and I was saved. Years later, he looked back on that and said, what caused me to be saved that day? He said, as I started tracing it back, he said, it was because I made the choice to look at God and live. Then he said, but how did I know to look? Because the preacher told me to from God's Word. But how did I hear the preacher? Because I wandered into that chapel that I never went to. How did I do that? Because God sent snow that day. And he said, the further I went back, I concluded that it was God who brought me to Himself. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought back to how you became a Christian and worked backwards? Why did I choose the Lord? Well, it was because I heard the gospel. Why did you hear the gospel? There's still many millions on the earth who've never heard the gospel. How did you get it? God sent it to you. What were you doing to hear it that day? Why did it affect you that day and not the other times you heard it? God was coming after you. Hallelujah! To God be the glory, not to us. To God be the glory. So God sent Nineveh a preacher, and He made that preacher obey and go to them. God intervened miraculously and unrelentingly to bring Jonah to Nineveh so they could hear and repent. Number three, how do we see God giving the repentance in Nineveh? Number three, He gave them advance warning of the judgment. Jonah's preaching was 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Why didn't he say 20 days or 10 days or it's too late, here it comes? The reason or the fact that God gave them advance warning, that was God moving them to respond to that warning by repenting. God was giving them time to repent. Number four, we see it also in the wording that Jonah used. God gave them a cause for hope. He didn't just say, you're all going to die and God's not going to, you know, change His mind. God's not going to, there's no chance. He left the door open for a response of forgiveness from God by giving them 40 days. But also, you remember I told you this a couple weeks ago, the wording Jonah uses, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That word for overthrown can either mean destroyed or Nineveh can be overthrown in a change of heart. Your heart can be turned over. The wording was kind of ambiguous to leave room that God may kill us or God may change us. And that's just what He did. He changed them. And the fifth way that we see God doing the giving of repenting is that throughout this whole passage, God worked through His Word to bring them to repentance. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not. We didn't read that whole chapter 3 today, but last week when we did, or maybe you've been reading it this week, you know what jumped out at me when I read chapter 3? All the references to the Word of God. All the references to God speaking. Did you notice it? Hey, good news, I'm going to point it out for you. I'll show it to you. And there's a bunch. And why is that important? Because we see that God was orchestrating their repentance through the powerful speaking of His Word. Look with me. In chapter 2, verse 10, it all started with the Lord spoke to the fish. He spoke to the fish to get Jonah puked up and ready to go. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, then the what? The Word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, rise and go to Nineveh. Then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, God is speaking. Then in chapter 3, verse 2, it's got three of them. And call out against Nineveh the message that I tell you. You see the voice of God three times in that verse. And then Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to what? The Word of the Lord. Verse 3. And then verse 4, Jonah got to Nineveh and he did what? He called out. Well, that's Jonah speaking, not God. Well, yeah, but what was Jonah speaking? The Word of God. Oh, okay, yeah. The next one, verse 5. The people of Nineveh believed God. Wait, preacher, that doesn't say the Word of God in it. Yes, but what did they believe? The preaching. Oh, yeah, okay. And then the last one, chapter 3, verse 6. The Word reached the king. What Word? The Word of God preached through Jonah. That's a lot of references to God speaking in one little chapter, isn't it? I mean, just 10 verses in chapter 3. Why did the writer of Jonah go out of his way to emphasize the Word of God? The Word of God. God said, God spoke, Jonah preached God's Word, and they repented. What brought Nineveh to its knees, church? What gave them repentance? It was the Lord God who worked through His powerful Word and gave them Repentance. Over and over, this text is pointing us to the unstoppable God of repentance, who works through His Word and unfolds His plan to bring the city to its knees. God gives repentance by His Word. Here's a passage you remember maybe from our series in Romans. Romans 10. How then will they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And then verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the what? The Word of Christ. So in that passage we see that faith comes by hearing. Well, faith and repentance go together. We hear the Word of God and it brings us to repent of our sins and look to Jesus. Salvation comes by the working of the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? Let me show you another passage from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, how God works in His Word. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. God said, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, they do not return there, but they water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. Do you see that? But it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. What is God telling us there? An old timer might say it this way. When God speaks, He's not just whistling Dixie. He's not wasting His words. When God speaks, He has a purpose, a decree. He said, as surely as the rain falls, and it doesn't just do nothing, it waters the earth and makes the crops grow. As surely as the water comes down and fulfills a purpose, God's Word comes down out of His mouth, and it will not go back to God empty without doing anything. God said you can take it to the bank. His Word will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it. And so God brings us to salvation and repentance through His Word. That's what we see in Jonah chapter 3. God getting a preacher to a people to work through the Word. Church, listen. I know I'm the guy up here most Sundays preaching. Make sure you understand this. The preaching ministry of this church, the church at Meadow Lake, it's not just the ministry of Kerry Cox. The preaching ministry of our church is the ministry of our church. You are responsible for what is preached up here. You are members of this church. And whether it's myself or one of our other elders, maybe another one of our men gets up and expounds the Word on a Sunday, like that deacon in the church that was preaching when Charles Spurgeon got saved. Listen to me. You are responsible to pray that what is preached in this pulpit is the Word of God. You are responsible to make sure that if me or any other man gets up here and starts just telling stories and getting political and just, you know, making up funny jokes and whatever to entertain you, put a little bit of scripture in it, you know. If I ever start doing that, you guys better be coming to my house or texting me or pulling me aside and say, hey, what's going on with the preaching, brother? Amen? I'm not a dictator up here that gets to say whatever I want. God's Word is in this house. We got to see to it. Why? Because this is God's church, not ours. And He works through His Word. We've got to make sure, as long as God is pleased to let this local church continue, we've got to make sure that what is proclaimed from this pulpit is the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that brings us to repentance. Isn't that good to understand? So pray for the preacher, and not just me. Pray for the preaching to bear fruit in this place. The unstoppable God powerfully and graciously brings us to repentance through His preached Word. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 says the message of the cross, or the word of the cross, or the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. They think it's dumb. You know, when we read the Bible and tell what it means and preach it. But this preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. God created the universe with His awesome word. Let there be light, He said, and there was light. In the same way, He speaks to the soul of a person who is hearing the gospel. And He says, let there be life. We come alive to Him. He gives repentance. Praise God today. Hallelujah today. And so to sum this up this morning, what we're seeing in this passage is that it was God's sovereign will all along for Nineveh to repent. Amen? He didn't leave it to chance. He didn't say, let's just see what they decide. Here's a tip. Sinners will always choose to reject God and keep sinning. Did you know that? If God left salvation totally up to us, no one would choose Him. None. Because we're dead spiritually and we love sin. We need God to save us. As Jonah cried out from the belly of the fish, what? Salvation belongs to the Lord. So we're seeing that God had a plan. Now, before I take this to Jesus and close up shop this morning, let me ask you another question. I want to get you to think about something with me. When Nineveh repented here in chapter 3, did that mean that Nineveh became the people of God from that day forward? Is there still a Nineveh full of people today who are believers? No. Okay, so what happened? About a generation after these guys repented at the preaching of Jonah, Nineveh went back to their old ways. The next generation did not follow the parents in repentance. And before long, Nineveh was conquering peoples again with their brutality and their sin. This was a short work, a very timely thing that God did. He had a plan for that generation of Nineveh to be saved. After they passed away, the next generation, they were going to conquer Israel. And that's part of the reason why God sent Jonah and spared the Ninevites, because Nineveh was on its way out. They were in decline. But through the preaching of Jonah, Nineveh was saved alive so God could use them to judge Israel for their sins. And then God would punish Nineveh by destroying them for their sins. That is prophesied in the Old Testament prophetic book of Nahum, which we may study after Jonah. Nahum is the sequel to Jonah. In Jonah, Nineveh is spared. In Nahum, Nineveh is destroyed. Why am I telling you that today? I want you to see that God had a reason. He sent a preacher and saved those guys. Yeah, one of the reasons is God loved those people and He wanted glory for His mercy and He brought some Gentiles into heaven. But another reason, He had a plan in history to spare Nineveh from being destroyed so that they could survive and be used by God to discipline Israel for their sins, and then God would destroy Nineveh. God always has a plan. I can't understand how God weaves His plan for each one of us and every nation together and they overlap. He's so smart. Amen? He's brilliant. His knowledge and His wisdom are beyond anything we can fathom. But the point is, He's in charge. And you may not know why God let happen to you what happened to you yesterday or the day before, or 10 years ago, that thing that happened. But God had a plan. And ultimately, when He weaves it all together, it's going to make sense. And it's going to be good. But the point we see today is that God is the sovereign God of repentance. Now let's take this to Jesus and we'll be done. See the gospel in Jonah. Let's remember today how Jonah points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greater Jonah, the perfect prophet sent from God. Jesus came preaching what? We looked at this last week. Mark 1:15, when Jesus started His ministry, He came preaching, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, John 1:14. The Word of God made flesh. How does God bring us to repentance? Through His Word. Jesus is the Word of God in a body to reveal God to us. Jesus was born in a manger, in a humble, in humble means. But Jesus grew up to go to the cross for us, for our sins, and to rise from the dead in victory and power. Now, just as Jonah rose from the belly of the fish to go preach so that Nineveh could repent, Jesus rose from the belly of the grave on the third day and sent out His church to preach the gospel in all nations so people would repent. Do you see that Jonah is like a small microcosm of the gospel? Jonah figuratively died. He came out of the fish on the third day, and what happened? He preached and Gentiles repented. Jesus was in the belly of the earth, in His grave for 3 days. He came out, and then what did He do? He didn't just rise from the dead and the book's over. He sent His church out to preach. To preach to whom? Not just Israel, all nations. See, Nineveh is like a little foreshadowing. It's a little taste of the gospel, that the gospel's going to go out not just to the Ninevites in that generation, but to all peoples in all generations until Jesus comes back. We have a mission to go out and preach the gospel, and God is saving sinners from every tribe and tongue. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Jonah is just a little drop in the bucket, a little taste of that. God is still the God of repentance today. God still requires it. You cannot serve Jesus and hang on to your sins. God still requires repentance. Praise God today that through the preaching of God's Word, the unstoppable God is still working. He's still bringing men and women and boys and girls to repentance of sin and faith in Jesus. Faith still comes through hearing the Word of Christ. I want you to know this morning that no heart is too hard. No sinner is too far gone for the unstoppable God of repentance. Amen? No heart is too hard for God. No sinner is too far gone for the unstoppable God of repentance. There is hope in Christ. Amen. How do you respond to this message today? First of all, if you have repented, praise God that the gift of repentance was given to you. You didn't get here by yourself. Don't give yourself too much credit, guys. I'm a Christian. I made a better choice than all these suckers out here, right? No, you were brought to your knees by the choice, the purpose of the Almighty God. When you repented, that was your day, recorded in God's book from eternity past. That day came, and you were humbled. So give Him the glory for that. How often do you fall on your knees and thank God for the gift of repentance? See that was God Himself loving you, saving you, when you repented. worship Him. Secondly, if you have not repented, well, here's how you reply to this message. You repent. Now is the day of salvation. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. 2020 shows us that. Ironclad proof. You cannot predict tomorrow. You cannot predict next year. We don't know how many breaths we have ordained, you know, given to us by God. Repent today. Repent means turn from your sins. God hates them. But He loves us. And He crushed Jesus on the cross so that we could be spared, so that we could be forgiven and washed and made the children of God. And church, we respond to this message by joining Jesus in the mission of the gospel. We've got a message to proclaim to the world. There's Ninevehs out there, amen? And we're like a bunch of Jonahs that God is releasing on the world with the gospel preaching. Share Christ with your friends. You say, I don't know all the answers. You don't have to know all the answers. You have to know Jesus. Your friends are not going to be saved by learning all the answers. They're going to be saved by meeting Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you already know what you need to know. God is God and we are sinners under His wrath. But He loved us and gave Jesus to the cross for us and raised Him from the dead. So repent and believe. You don't have to lead them in a prayer and put words in their mouth. Give them the gospel and pray for the Holy Spirit to wake them up and bring them to life. Amen? Finally, let God's Word today give us a big view of God. Is your view of God too small? Have you forgotten that He's the God of repentance? And to Him belongs all the glory. Bow your heads with me if you would. Let's worship the God of repentance. Oh Lord God, You are still the same God who worked through the preaching of Jonah to bring Nineveh to its knees before You. Today, we need Your gracious gift of repentance. We need You to work in us, God. Even we who are already believers, we've already repented, but we need to keep repenting, God. Help us, Lord, to have soft, responsive hearts to You, God. Don't let our hearts grow hard to You. We ask You to give us soft hearts. We need You, Lord. And we pray for the people in our lives, Lord, who are lost, who are in their sins. They're still under Your wrath and Your anger. Oh God, let us proclaim Your gospel. Let us share Your Word with others with boldness. And we ask You to bless our preaching. Yeah, the preaching in this church that we do on Sundays. But Lord, also the preaching that we share with each other and with the world on Mondays and Tuesdays and every day of the week as we see people. Help us to point them to Christ. Holy Spirit, would You anoint us to proclaim the Word of God. Father, we humble ourselves before You this morning. And in Your presence, we lift You high. We get down low. We lift You high. Be exalted in this church. Be exalted in our hearts. Get great glory to Yourself through us. Thank You for the gift of repentance.